regards him, the Bible says, and we'll look at that later on. But the thing that that got my attention initially was verse 8, where they went the way through the wilderness of Edom. In other words, which way shall we go up? How are we going to attack? How are we going to go up against the people of Moab? And he answered, and he said, the way through the wilderness of Edom. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, he's not a very spiritual person, so he probably didn't seek God's will. And boy, it's a strange battle plan as they went through the wilderness of Edom, and as are many wildernesses, they had no water, and there was no water. And they went from no water to the valley where there was no water. And literally, they went from bad to worse in this whole battle plan. But I want to show you today victory in the valley. You see, I think it was God's will, not so much for Jehoram, but I think God had a lot to teach Jehoshaphat and some things to teach you and I as we read this story. Don't you like to read stories about things that happened to other people? And you say, I'm glad that didn't happen to me. The truth of the matter is, these kinds of things do happen to you and I. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you so much for and the honesty of the Word of God and how it just tells us like it is and tells us exactly what happened. And we see kings making bad decisions, and yet we see you working in the lives of kings, and we recognize that, Lord, you work in our lives as well. And I pray, God, there are some valleys represented here this morning, some folks who are in a valley. There are folks here today that are on a mountaintop, and certainly many that are in between. But we pray for victory in the valley, and just look for that. And realize, Lord, you'll tell us exactly how to get that. And we pray you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever recognize this kind of a thing where you're going to go through the wilderness? And wilderness, typically in the Bible, it's not a good thing. It's not usually the thing, yes, I can't wait, I'm going to the wilderness. You've won a vacation to the wilderness. It's not usually the positive thing in life. The wilderness, and they're going in the wilderness, 7 days' journey, and there's no water, and so they're thirsty. They brought some, obviously, but they're running out. And so that is not a good thing. And then they're going to go into the valley, and they're totally out of water now, and that's not a good thing. And you know, it's not supposed to be like that. I was thinking, as I was preparing the message, thinking back to, I think it was 1990, and it was just one of those years for me where just everything, just a lot of valleys, a lot of problems. It was like going through the wilderness and thirsting for God to do something and waiting on God to do something. And it just seemed like, okay, God, what are you going to do? And then, boom, something bad. You know, and then, okay, great, that's over with, and you're looking for that mountain, and it just, it's like there's a wilderness. You can't even see, you don't even know if you're in a valley, because it's just such a wilderness. And then you think, okay, now something good is going to happen, right? And boy, something else bad. And it's like you go along through the wilderness, and there's no water, and you thirst, and you say, all right, this must be it. And you find out you're right in the middle of a valley. And 1990 was like that. I remember Dr. Tom Williams said to me at the end of that year, he said, Brother Rogers, he said, you kind of remind me of a modern-day Job. That was just 1 year. I was thinking this week, my wife had nothing serious, but she had some medical issues. She had to go to the doctor, and the doctor, we've been laughing about this ever since. And the doctor, after all these things and talking and everything, and Brenda she just said, you know, I why is this happening? And the doctor said, I guess it's just bad luck. Uh-huh. And then I ended up having some medical issues and that, and I looked at the nurse and I said, why? Okay, how do you explain it? And she just said, great. I don't know. Here's the thing. You know, we all experience valleys. Everybody here does. And I, you know, you're not exempt from valleys and problems and trials and all of that. But most of us, we have this idea, and it does happen this way often, where, and I preach about this, that you're in the valley, okay, look for the mountain. Amen? I mean, look for the mountain, because at the end of the valley is going to be a mountain. But remember, at the end of the mountain, there's going to be a valley, and so on and so forth. And that's our life. And it really is like that. It shouldn't be your spiritual life. Your walk with God should always be in the clouds, amen? Your walk with God should be in the heavenlies. But the reality of our lives is that we will have a valley, and then we look for the mountain. But again, the whole idea of Christian life is to rejoice in the Lord, whether you're in the mountain or the valley. It doesn't matter. You just still rejoice in the Lord. But again, this scenario, though, sometimes does happen. And it is realistic for many people. In verse 8, they which way shall we go up? Well, the plan is this. We're going to go through the wilderness of Edom. Great. You know, there's no water there. We're going to go there. We're going to spend 7 days through the wilderness of Edom, only to end up in a valley where there's no water there either. And so we're going to go through the wilderness, which is bad, to the valley, which is worse. And I can only think of when it rains, it pours. You know? You ever think that? Just, well, when it rains, and by the way, I've learned, I don't say it can't get worse. I learned a long time ago, I don't ever say those words because it can. Or maybe we say, cheer up, it's going to get worse. You know, I mean, that's exactly what happened here. Have you ever had a bad day that became a bad week, that became a bad month, and it became maybe even a bad year, you know, and you're just waiting on that mountain? Well, this passage to me is saying, okay, the mountain's not coming soon. The mountain's not, it's not there yet. The mountain, there's a reason you don't see the mountain because you're in the wilderness. There's a reason you don't see the mountain because you're in the valley. There's a reason you don't see the mountain because it's not now. It'll come, but it's not yet. And so God is saying, but you can have victory in the valley. Oh, folks, listen, we need to understand something. I love this passage of Scripture. We need to understand there is victory in the valley. We should never be the kind of people that can only have victory on a mountain. We should never be the kind of people that the only way we'll praise the Lord is when everything's going good. We need to realize that God provides a victory in the valley. And so I want to go through this passage of Scripture, and I will go real quick, and I want you to listen and let God speak to your heart. Number one, we see the problem. The problem. Really, there are three problems, and that's usually true with us, right? Especially when you're in a wilderness headed to a valley. I mean, there's not just, usually you don't just point to one thing. You look at several things, and certainly that is true here. And I do want to remind you that Jehoshaphat is one that God would certainly answer his prayers. God was working on Jehoshaphat. Jehoram was evil and wicked and wanted nothing to do with spiritual things. But certainly Jehoshaphat and many of the people did want to serve God. And so God wants to show them some things and teach them some things. And so don't get the idea that, well, there's all these problems. God doesn't care. No, problems mean that God does care. God is working in your life. God's teaching you something. God wants you to learn there's victory in the valley. And by the way, some of the best victories are in the valley. The problem, three problems. Number one is war. War. Verse 7, it says very clearly, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? War. The king of Moab, quite an army the king of Moab had. I want you to understand that we are always in a spiritual war. It is always a battle. By the way, Vacation Bible School, we are going to war. Amen. It's war time. And you never know, we may get a tank and put it out in the yard. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure we won't. We may have a nuclear missile. No, we're not going to do that. But it's war, folks. Honestly, you cannot, this idea that, oh, everything's happy and flowers and lilies in Christianity, it's war. The devil hates us. He's mad. He says, I don't understand all these things happening. The devil hates you. He's a roaring lion. He doesn't just want to slobber on you. He wants to chew you up and spit you out. We're at war. And so it's always that way for the Christian. It's constant war. War until Jesus comes or till you go home. Hey, war is going to be a problem all the time. It's always going to be a problem. You don't have to look at the Daily Telegram to find out about whether there's war going on or not. We don't have to hear all the reports about the war on terror. We know the ultimate terrorist is constantly warring against us. It's always going to be for God's people. But here in our passage of Scripture, the king of Israel seeks the help from the king of Judah and the king of Edom to fight in this war. But only one of them is actually spiritual, and that's Jehoshaphat. And so, first problem, war. Second problem is the way. Again, it's a pitiful battle plan. Terrible battle plan. I mean, take us by some lakes and streams and rivers. No, we're going to go through the wilderness. The way. It's a wilderness. It's bad. Verse 8. And he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. Now, I personally am one of these that think, you know, God does control rulers. Amen. God does control kings. God does confound their minds and let them do stupid things. I shouldn't use that word on Sunday morning, should I? Idiot things, that's a better word, more dignified. He does. To bring him glory or to teach his people. And so, as you watch politics today, not that I'm making any indication with the word idiot or stupid or anything, but as you watch the politics of the day, understand that sometimes things are allowed by God to show us some things God wants to teach us. And I know Jehoshaphat had to scratch his head with the battle plan of Jehoram. Jehoram, did you pray about it? Jehoram hadn't been praying. Did you read your Bible? No. But I think God probably just let Jehoram go that way because God had something he wanted to teach. Let's be real careful. Again, we should vote right. Amen. We should have our say and give our voice in all these things. But let's let our God be God. Turns the king's heart however way he sees fit. Remember, Pharaoh and his army. I mean, Pharaoh, you talk about beyond stupidity. As his army chases the Israelites into the Red Sea. Wow, that was not smart at all. After all he'd seen, well, you know, I think God again was involved in that. But enough all that. The point I'm trying to make is the wilderness was a problem. It was really a problem. Hey, we're getting thirsty here. We're running out of water. We don't have much. Oh, you're going to have to ration that water. Yeah, but our animals need to drink, and we need to drink, and the cattle need to drink, and our horses need to drink, and there's no water. And that was the third problem. So the way was a problem. The war was a problem, but the water. Verse 9, it says, the king of Israel went, the king of Judah, the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. No water. What a strange plan. What a strange plan. But again, we cannot expect much from the king of Israel. He was an unwise person, and therefore it only made sense for him to decide to go through waterless wilderness. But I think the key was on Jehoshaphat. I want to remind you something. Jehoshaphat got thirsty too. He was thirsty too. It was his problem too. The war was his problem. The way was his problem. The water was his problem. He could have easily just stopped and said, this Jehoram, he's a dummy. He doesn't know what he's doing. What's wrong with this guy? But instead, you'll see that he gets a victory in the valley. Now, folks, we can blame anybody and everybody for everything. But let's understand that our God is God. And it may seem like this, the war is tough. It is. The devil does. War isn't fun. Unless it's an online game or something like that, one of those video things, and you get a bunch of lives. You know, you can go out and do something stupid and die, and then you're back again. Look, it's me again. I have health. And, boy, I wish it were really like that. You know, all you have to do is go search a room and you feel better. Listen, we all have problems. We all have problems. Everybody does. And sometimes the problems get worse and worse and worse and worse, and it seems impossible. But I got news for you. God has a way to give you a victory in the valley. And you may sit here today and say, you know, I see it. I'm in that wilderness right now. Are you saying, preacher, that when I cross through that wilderness, I'm just headed for a deep valley? You might be. You might be. But I'm telling you, there's victory in the valley. Number one, the problem. Number two, the protest. And here's the difference right here. I'm telling you, this is the difference. Verse 10, look at it. In verse 10, it says, and the king of Israel, this is our king that, you know, the Bible says he's evil. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. What's his problem? Well, his problem is his canteen's empty. He's dry. He's thirsty. And he doesn't see any way. And so what's he do immediately? By the way, if you gripe and complain, ultimately you're blaming God. I know we don't like that because we gripe and complain. I would never blame God. But I don't like all this. If you don't like all that, come on, did you gripe and complain about the snow? Bible says, and he said to the snow, be thou on the earth. Who said that? The devil? No, God. Right? Hey, I'm guilty. There were many days I said, I'm tired of this snow. But I had to stop and I had to say, wait a minute, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, God. By the way, same people that were tired of the snow are complaining about humidity. Amen. We all do it. You know, oh, it's so hot. I don't like it being so hot. Don't you remember the snow? No, I don't. I don't think it snowed that much. Just like in the middle of the snow. I don't think it was that hot last year when it hit 85. Some were saying, it's too hot. We're like that. But, I mean, ultimately, let's understand that when we protest things going on, we're blaming God. I mean, come on. Come on, Jehoram. God didn't, you know, don't blame God. But he does. He said, the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. God has brought us together so we could just die. Come on. That's very typical of unspiritual people to complain and gripe about things. Did God call them together to be defeated by the Moabites? You say, well, it sure looks like it. Really? Have you read the whole story? Come on. By the way, God doesn't call us to be defeated by the devil ever. God calls us to victory. Amen. That's why we can sing the song, Victory in Jesus. That's why we sang the song at Linda's mom's funeral the other day. Victory in Jesus. That's not a defeat. When the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Who in the world are we to complain about something that is precious in the sight of the Lord? And we're going to gripe and complain? No, we're going to sing victory in Jesus because it's not over. It's just beginning for them. Some of you are giving me a look like, you know, it's the protest. Unspiritual people complain. The question is, did God allow it? Well, obviously he did. Then you're going to have to just be honest and blame God for what happened. Now, I challenge you to get on your knees in your prayer closet and blame God for what happened. Whatever it is, you say, this wilderness, I'm tired of it. The briars and the thorns and there's no water. And I'm tired of it. Okay, get on your knees and tell God you're tired of it and blame him. I mean, you understand, Jehoram was so bad that when he went before the man of God, the Bible says he did it again in verse 13. He said, the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. We're all going to die. It's over. We're thirsty. We're going to die. And it's all your fault, God. Now, just if you want to be honest, seriously, it'll change your life if you would finally be honest with God. Because if I tell Tim, it's all God's fault. Or I'm sorry, if I tell Tim, that leaky roof and all the problems we've had, and I'm just so tired of it. And if I rail on him about all that, you know what? If I was honest, I'd just do it to God. Because Tim has nothing to do with it. If I tell Tim, it's Elias Correa's fault. That's not being honest. What I need to do is I need to say, Tim, it's all God's fault. And Tim said, well, you better talk to God about that. Amen. And you better talk to God about that, because it'll be the best thing in the world you could do is talk to God about that and say, God, this wilderness, I'm thirsty, I'm tired, and what's next? And God may just tell you, oh, a valley. A valley is next. What am I going to do? God says, it's exactly what I've been waiting on you to ask. That's exactly what I've been waiting on. It's exactly why you spent 7 days in that wilderness. It's exactly why you're going to go through that valley. Because I want you to ask, what am I going to do? Talking about it, griping about it, complaining about it, it doesn't do any good. God, what can I do? I'm so glad you asked. Number one, the problem. Number two, the protest. Number three, the prophet. Verse 11, Jehoshaphat, there he is. Guy that reads his Bible, guy that prays, guy that during church he pays attention, guy that goes to the altar when God speaks to his heart. Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire the Lord by him? Quaint idea. Let's get out the word of God. Let's find out what God says. Let's see what God has to say about that. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God when we're in the wilderness we can get our Bibles. Thank God instead of grabbing your cell phone, you can grab the old King James Bible. Thank God instead of talking to a group of people and complaining and griping, thank God we can go to the Word of God and we can find out what to do. And that's Joshua said, hey, I have a novel idea since we all believe in God. How about if we go to God and ask Him? Amen. In verse 12 it says, and Joshua said, the word of the Lord is with him. So they go to Elisha. Says, here is Elisha, verse 11, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. You remember Elisha. Asked for a double portion of God's power. And he got it. Amen. He said, I need a miracle here. We need God to do something. Amen. Isn't that ultimately what it looks like God was wanting to take place here? I know Jehoram wasn't very wise. I think God kind of let him be unwise in his own way, like he lets you be unwise sometimes. You say, I don't understand why. You should. You should. But I think God let him make a very bad decision, and he got in trouble, but it caused those who really cared, like Jehoshaphat, to say, God, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? We're supposed to be at war with the Moabites. We can't even provide water for our cattle and for our horses and for our men. What are we going to do, God? We need to know what to do. Don't you like verse 13? It's so good. Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? What have I to do with thee? Don't you love that? Verse 14, after the king of Israel whined again and said, well, the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. Don't you like that? I'd like to say that someday. I don't see you. Do I hear a voice? No. But he did. He said, I wouldn't even see you. That's the king, by the way. He wasn't afraid of the king because he had more of a king over him than this king. What do you suppose he's saying? He's saying, I have no tolerance for you because you're a whiner and a complainer. Kind of reminds me of another wilderness when the children of Israel were out there and they griped and complained. And God sent fiery serpents. You remember that story? Yeah. And Elisha says, you know what? If it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, you'd just die of thirst, buddy. I wouldn't even see you. But he said, I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat. So I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. Praise the Lord. You know, God always is willing to let us know what he wants us to do. Again, the will of God is not some mysterious thing he's going to write across the sky and you got to just be there at the right time. God, if you search for me with all your heart, he said, you'll find me. I got it. I'll tell you. And so the prophet, what's he do? Verse 15, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Amen. He probably played something like Amazing Grace. Maybe he played Victory in Jesus. Somehow I don't think he played Darling, You Left Me Again. I don't think he played that. I don't think he played Highway to Hell. I don't think he played some of the rap music that it's about 75% cussing and swearing. Why? Because he's looking for an answer from God. I got news for you. You're not going to find your answer with the world's methods. Smile. It's okay. In just a few minutes, you'll be out of here. It'll be all right. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes I'm working on a message on while I was musing. And musing has to do with music, amen? And muse means to think. And music ought to make you think right things. And that's what he wanted to do. And I think he put in the tour group from Berean Baptist last week, put that CD in, amen? And, he called for a minstrel. The minstrel put that CD in or played that record, maybe the 8-track, or maybe he just played it. But I believe it was something that would glorify and magnify Jesus. Amen. And so he got his answer. And so that's number 4. And that's the promise. The promise. And it's real simple. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. Wow. Then he goes on and says, you're going to whoop the Moabites too. That's in the Hebrew. But I want you to notice his promise. And this is so good because it's like so many of God's promises. It's conditional. There is a condition. What do you mean? Well, he says, make the valley full of ditches. Okay, and first thing I thought of, and it's so many times it's this way with God. This is what God's looking for. This is the whole thing. Okay, it could be why that cow didn't have anything to drink, Brother Korea. Could be why that horse was neighing all the way through that wilderness, so thirsty, poor horse. Could be why that soldier that's going to fight against Moab, he's thirsty. Yeah, it could be. Because the Bible says, make this valley full of ditches. You know, when you're real thirsty, you don't tend to question God quite as much. When you really need something to happen, you don't tend to question. But I got to be honest with you, that's kind of a strange thing to do. Make the valley full of ditches? And so here's the condition right here. Make the valley full of dishes. Ditches, not dishes. We're going to wash the dishes once we get the water, amen? Here's our problem right here. Because we've watched too much junk in the way of religion, and we somehow think God is our genie to grant our wishes. Amen. We've been conditioned that way to think, well, you know, God's just going to do whatever he... No, God has a plan. He has a will. He's God. And so many times, the song comes to mind, trust and obey. Trust and obey. Is anybody else hot in here? Whew, getting warm. You're cold? You want my coat? All right. Trust and obey. Amen. It works. It's a great song. Can't believe we've substituted it for drop kick me Jesus through the goalpost of life. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Verse 17 says, and he said, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your poor little cow and your beast, they're all going to be able to drink. Isn't that good? That valley shall be filled. It's not, oh, genie, we need water. That isn't it. It's God saying, you do this, I'm going to take care of you. Isn't that good? Amen. Don't get the idea you can just tell God what. You're not his commander. Amen? Amen. It's kind of quiet on me. Verse 18, and this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. It's nothing for God. He said, I'm going to give you water to drink. But then he said this. He said, he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Not only is he going to give you water, he's going to get rid of the Moabites. You say, well, God's doing what I said. No, he's not. He told you, here's what you need to do. Now this is what he'll do. That's his promise. He will deliver you. God's word is like that over and over and over and over again. The key thing is, he's able. He's able. You get thirsty enough, you grab your shovel. He's able. He can do it. The promise. Number five is the process. Number one, the problem. Two, the protest. Three, the prophet. Four, the promise. Number five, the process. There's always a process. Verse 17 made it clear. Not wind, not rain. Three things. One is water, but not rain. Now, we might think it's just going to rain. Lots and lots and lots of rain. We might think, well, God will just make it rain. They'll have all their water. But I love verse 20 because it's just so good. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Wait a minute. Does anything jump out at you there? It jumped out at me. It jumped out and said like that to me. What? Thank you for asking. Where'd they come from? Where had they just been? The wilderness of? Edom. That's where they were. And where's the water coming from? Edom. What's that mean? It means it was there all along. Amen. Could God have given them water in the wilderness? Of course he could have. Could God give you wilderness the first day of your problem? Of course he could. Second day? Of course he could. The third day? Of course he could. He could do it in that first week. He could have done it in 1990. He could have done it in April. He could have done it in May. He could have done it in June. But he didn't. Oh, your trial today, your problem today, the thing that the wilderness in your life today, God, at any time, God could take care of that thing. But he doesn't always. But he could. Hey, God, where'd you get the water from? Edom. Wait a minute, we just marched through Edom. We just went through. There was no water. God said, it wasn't time. I want to remind you, as the people of the world were looking for the Messiah, the Jews were begging God for the Messiah, and God had promised the Messiah. I want to remind you that the Messiah did not come until what? When the fullness of the time was come. God sent forth his Son. But not until the fullness of the time was come. When are you going to give water, God? When it's time, that's when. You know, our biggest problem is not the water. Our biggest problem is trusting the God who gives the water. That's our problem. As we go through the wilderness, folks, you're on your first day, your third day, your second week, your third month, whatever it is. Understand, the water is always there. The answer is always there. Because the answer's Him. It's under His control. Just like the water. Didn't He provide water from a rock? Not just water from a rock, but water to take care of the thirst of 3.5 million Jews for 40 years. The Bible says the rock followed them. I mean, if God can do that, is there any question? You look around, but I don't see any water. Oh, and so many times we don't see it. But I don't see the mountain. I don't see the hill. All I see is wilderness, and it looks like at the end of the wilderness is a valley. But God used the water, and He brought the water. What a miracle. Doesn't say how. Just said He wouldn't use the wind, or they wouldn't see the wind or see the rain. The water just came from Edom somehow. What else did He use? What else was the process? Well, the water, which was a miracle. And then secondly was the sun. Verse 21, when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. They rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. Well, that's nothing new. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. It was early in the morning, perfect timing. They all got up. Who knows why? You know, again, did God send an angel to poke the bugler with a pen and he woke up and blew wake up call? I don't know. All I know is when they woke up and when they looked out and saw that valley full of water, God told His angel, turn the sun a deep red, and they turned the knob on the sun. And when they looked out at that water, they said, that's blood. I don't know about you. I've never looked at water and thought it was blood. I've seen blood in water. But I've never, water always just looks like water. Most of the time, water looks blue. But somehow, God used the sun to make it look like blood, the water. Amen. It wasn't blood. It just looked like blood. How do you know it wasn't blood? Because they drank it and it saved their lives. Had it been blood, it had been a problem. We don't drink blood. Well, maybe you do. You have problems. But it was just good old water. But to the Moabites, it looked like blood. And God used the water and God used the sun. That was His process. Again, the water was always available. Just like God's always available. God can always deliver you. God used the sun. But the sun's always out there, right? But it had to be the right time. The sun and the water. Oh, then there's that third thing. That's that conditional part. God used man. It's amazing how God uses man. Really. Don't you ever just stop and think, why would God use us? But He does. He often uses us in a conditional way. Okay, if you'll do this, I'll do this. Now, understand, we go back to verse 16, and that really is our text, and I'm just about done. It's hard to believe. I'm getting to the preaching part now. And He said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Make the valley full of ditches. Now, in my mind, I envision the typical Baptist who's griped and complained all their way through. That ain't going to do any good. Right? Okay, folks, let's get our shovels. Let's go out there and dig, dig, dig. Are you nuts? That ain't going to do any good. We can't dig far enough to get a well. That ain't what God said, did He? He just said make the valley full of ditches. Can you dig a ditch? See, here, the man is the key to the whole thing here. Because obviously, if there's no ditch, then there's no water. And if there's no water and the sun is shining red, it's just red dirt. If there's no water and you go to get a drink, you drink dust. So it all started with a ditch. One ditch would provide maybe some water. full of ditches is a full valley of water. Trust and obey. First scoop, Brother Carpenter, if you can imagine that first scoop of dirt, somebody said, I believe God. Second scoop of dirt, I really believe God. Now you're sweating because you've been shoveling dirt. Wow, I really believe God. God's going to do something great. First guy that griped, got the second guy to gripe, got the third guy to gripe, and got the fourth guy to gripe, and they all walked away griping. But in the middle of that valley, there were some ditch diggers that were praising God by the time they were done. And they were rejoicing. Oh, that's the workers in the New Testament church. That's the folks that, though it's the wilderness, we're going to keep trusting God. Though it's the valley, we're going to stay on our bus route. Though it's the valley, I'm going to keep teaching my Sunday school class. Though it's the valley, I'm going to work in the fair ministry. Though it's a wilderness, I'm going to be involved in vacation Bible school. Though it's the valley, I'm going to come and rip carpet out. Though it's the valley, though it's the wilderness, though it's a trial, though it's a problem, though it's not what I like, though it's not what I expected, I am going to trust my God, and I'm going to obey my God, and I'm going to let God do this thing. That's exactly what took place. The miracle of the water, it would not take place without the ditch of the man. The miracle of the son would not take place without the ditch dug by a man. By the way, God works this way with Elisha several times. Just in the next chapter, he does. When he comes to the widow woman who has run out of money and they're about to repossess her house. And Elisha, verse 2, said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And God says to, again, God uses Elisha in this way. Here's a woman, she has nothing. Here's a woman who's about to lose her possessions. She didn't deserve that, you say. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Here's what matters. She has a God that loves her, and he's going to take care of her, but he's looking for her to trust him. Well, how can I prove I trust? He said, go borrow some vessels. And so her family goes everywhere they can. The Bible says in verse 4, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. It came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. And they took that one vessel of oil, and her son brought a vessel from the Smith family over here, and they had three or four vessels, and he poured, and that oil just kept pouring out into all those vessels. And then they went to the Poindexter family over here, and they had four or five vessels, and poured out into those vessels. And then they went to Cletus's family over here, and they had six vessels, and they poured oil into those vessels, and all the way through the neighborhood, the Jones family and the Cook family, and they had two vessels, and they poured out into those vessels, and they went to all the different folks, all the neighbors, and they poured out, and that oil just kept pouring, and somebody's going, hallelujah, glory to God, amen, and somebody else is going, it'll never work. But then they took the oil and they sold it, and they paid the debt, and they lived off that because their God provided. But let's just say she said, it'll never work. Let's say she got on Facebook and said, here's what the man of God said, and everybody said, what do they say, unlike or dislike or don't like or disinherit or whatever you do. I don't know. And finally, you know, well, the consensus is, phooey on a consensus. Do what God says. Amen. Do what God says. And I'm telling you, I started to say she's still rejoicing. She is in heaven. Oh, listen, dig ditches. Keep digging, keep digging, keep working, keep praying, keep reading your Bible, keep serving, keep tithing, keep giving, keep in the bus ministry and vacation Bible school and rip carpet. Bless God, every young man ought to be excited about ripping carpet. You wanted to rip the carpet all your life. You want to tear up carpet. Oh, if I could just tear up this carpet. This is your opportunity. It's coming. You're going to be able to take out all your anger, all your humility at carpet. Mom used to make me have to wash the carpet when I spilled something on it. I'm going to tear it. Take that out on that carpet. Amen. Paint. You can paint now on the carpet. Dale Stewart is having such a good time because he's sloppy when he paints. And he slings paint all over the walls and he rolls the paint and it goes everywhere. And he can on the carpet that you're going to rip out, tear, bite and chew. Till it's gone. But we got to just keep going. Amen. Look at Psalm 84:6. I am so close to being done, it's unbelievable. Mainly because it is so hot. Psalm 84 and verse 6. And because I've run out of notes. Who passing through the valley of Baca, that's the valley of weeping, make it a well. That's what God says. The rain also filleth the pools. Hey, take your valley, make it a well. Make that valley a well. You know, we can gripe, complain, get upset. Oh, but it's been a week. It's been a month. It's been 2 years. It's so bad. I can't take it anymore. No, what you need to do is you need to trust God, obey God, do what God says. And this, the devil would love for you to quit. He'd love you to quit reading your Bible. He'd love you to quit praying. Keep praying. Keep reading your Bible. Keep tithing. Keep serving. And dig the ditches. Because I got news for you. He's going to quench your thirst. And he's going to deliver you. The last thing is number 6, the provision. What did he do? Back to our text, our passage. You know what he did. 2 Kings 3. And I'm done. 2 Kings 3. The provision. He did exactly what he said. The water filled the ditches, filled the valley. So they had water to drink. The Moabites, they saw it as blood. And you'll notice what the Bible says. It says in verse 23, and they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain. Talk about the three kings. They've smitten one another. That's all they could think. The thing, you got to understand, the valley was dry. It was dry as a bone. And they get up in the morning and it's full of this red substance. Hey, they've all killed each other. They fought each other. That's what they think. And they said, Moab to the spoil. And they attack. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites even in their country. And they beat down the cities and on every good piece of land, cast every man his stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kirhareseth left they the stones thereof. Howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it, and they whooped the Moabites. Amen. And they got their water. And they defeated the enemy. Problem solved. Yeah, but look what they had. They had to dig some ditches. They had to trust God. They had to obey God. They had to keep praying, reading their Bible, giving, tithing, walking with God, hitting the altar when God speaks to their heart. They had to just keep doing what you're supposed to do as a Christian. They had to, instead of quitting their ministry, stay in their ministry. They had to be involved in the will and the work of God. And then God took care of their problems. He's going to take care. He always can take care of your problems. Do you understand? You could walk out of here today and all your problems be gone. You can get up in the morning and all your problems be gone. Because he can do that. He may. But he may not. What do I do, preacher? Just trust and obey. Psalm 107:35 says, he turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And he can do that